No matter how they tell the story, I had the 39th president call me and ask me to be his pastor.
Jimmy Carter is arguably Georgia's most famous resident. He and his wife, Rosalyn, are certainly some of the state's most beloved. But what is it like living in the same community and interacting with a former president, an award-winning humanitarian, and a Nobel Peace Prize recipient on top of that? Who better to ask than the residents in President Carter's hometown, the people of Plains.
Born in Plains, where the fields will blow, oh, so gentle and kind, a farmer peanuts with a heart to shine,
so divine.
He carries faith in everything he do, a peacemaker at heart, always tried to see it through. He stood by friends through thick and thin, in the light of hope that his journey began. Raise a hand, celebrate a good man. Raise a hand, celebrate a good man.
This is Plainspoken, Jimmy Carter and the People of Plains, a joint production between Georgia Public Broadcasting and myself, Andrew Greer. These episodes were created from the master tape recordings of my documentary, Plainspoken, which explores the divides that exist in Jimmy Carter's hometown of Plains, Georgia. While putting together that documentary, there were just too many good Jimmy Carter stories that were going to end up on the cutting room floor. So I am putting some of those stories here in this podcast. Today's episode is titled Faithful Servant. If you were to leave this world with one single message, what would that message be and why?
Well, my religious faith is very important to me, and I would just like for the teachings of Jesus Christ to be implemented in the whole world. And have a complete equality of treatment of all the people, and black and white, and other races as well. And love one another, and have religious faith, and also treat each other the way we would like for them to treat us.
President Carter has been very forthcoming and outspoken about his faith throughout his lifetime. It is no secret that he is a Christian. To get a glimpse of what it is that President Carter believes, let's hear the story of how the Reverend Tony Loudon came to be the first black pastor at the former president's home church, Maranatha Baptist Church in Plains. Take me back to, or tell me the story of how you actually got here to become pastor of Maranatha Baptist.
It was an amazing story. A friend of mine by the name of Doug Unger called me one day, said, hey, you know, would you consider going down to Maranatha to preach? I said, Maranatha, where is that at? He said, in South Georgia. And Doug is the type of person who have always been a connector behind the scenes. So he asked me to come and preach at Maranatha Baptist Church one day. I said, sure. I come down here and I preach, and President Carter was here and Rosalynn Carter was here. And I started learning a little bit more about Maranatha. I just came up and gave a little sermon. Went home, laid down on the bed. My wife went to our studio because they had a big event at another church, a dance event. They do praise dance. My daughter was with her at the time. And I get a phone call from members of the church on their deacon committee saying, can we talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. I said, did I do anything wrong? He said, no. We just want to talk to you for a moment. Would you be interested in being our interim pastor? I said, well, I didn't know you didn't have a pastor. He said, no, we don't have a pastor right now, but would you be interested in being the interim? Well, I said, I'm not sure if you really want me to be your interim pastor. You know, I said, I'm a different type of preacher. And he said, well, you know, can we ask you some questions? I said, sure. He said, how do you feel about women in leadership in church? I said, well, how do you feel about Ruth, Naomi, all the other women in the Bible? Did they have a place in the Bible? If they had a place in the Bible, then they should have a place in the church and also in leadership. I said, you can't get past Esther without knowing that she has some leadership. And they said, well, how do you feel about gays in the church? I said, well, how do you feel about drunks and liars and all those other people with sins in the church? Are they welcome? If they're welcome, then gays should be welcome too. And they said, okay. And they said, okay, well, we'll call you later. You know, can you send us your resume and stuff? I said, sure. I said, I'm not sure if you want me. And so then The very next day, that Monday, I'm driving to work. I'm headed to Atlanta, which is 2.5 hours drive. And I'm talking to Doug, and I'm giving Doug the 411 on what happened. And Doug and I, we get on the phone at 8 o'clock in the morning. We may talk for about an hour. And there was a 229 number that I missed. And so I let it go to voicemail because I didn't know who it was from. And then after I got through talking to Doug, I was almost at work, and I listened to the voicemail. It was President Carter. He's saying, hey, you know that the church have already asked you to consider being an interim pastor, and if we like you and you like Plains, we would love you to consider to be our pastor. I was just blown away that the 39th president of our nation, a man at one time who was one of the most powerful men in the nation, a true servant leader with a servant heart, would call this boy from North Philadelphia to come and pastor a church in South Georgia in his latter days, to be his spiritual leader, to help him get ready to accept everything that God has prepared for him in his latter days. That was just mind-boggling, and I didn't think it was going to happen.
So if you told people that you ignored the 39th President of the United States phone call?
Yes. It's amazing. I keep it as a reminder that, you know, I should answer calls when people call. But I'm glad I didn't answer, because now I can save it for history for my daughter. It's a voicemail that I will never, never lose. And it's just an honor to hear his voice. It's almost like going through the whole procedure when God called me into preaching again. It was like this new voice saying, hey, I'm taking you to another level.
Why was it important to you and for the town of Plains to appoint Tony Loudon, Maranatha Baptist Church's first black pastor, as your church's leader at this point in time of history?
I was kind of a leader in the church then, and had a good deal of influence about who came to be our pastor. And I, as soon as we heard Tony preach, I was convinced that he was the best one for our church. But he has been outstanding in that respect. And I think our church has been much more integrated. That is, we have a lot more African-American members now than we had before Tony came. But he is a man of God, and he preaches the Bible according to the way I feel. And so he's just been outstanding in every way.
So was that a purposeful appointment in appointing a black pastor in a church that whose genesis was inspired by racial unity?
You know, I can't say that, because we were just looking for the best pastor to work with our people and to expand our church. And Tony was, in my opinion, was fulfilled that requirement. So I don't think we started out by looking for just a pure black pastor. We started out just looking among all the applicants we had, and Tony was the last one that we really dealt with. But at the time, he was just the best pastor overall of our church, and not just because he was black.
Do you still have that voicemail?
I still have that voicemail.
Too personal to play?
No, it's not too personal to play.
Tony, this is Jimmy Carter. I'm just going to tell you how much we appreciated you coming yesterday and how we enjoyed your sermon. And as you know already, the church has asked you to come and be our interim pastor. And if you like Plains and we like you, we'd like you to come and be with us. We look forward to it. Thank you very much for coming.
This is
Jimmy Carter. Bye-bye.
This is amazing. Mm-hmm. No, that's part of history in my life. No matter how they tell the story, I had the 39th president call me and ask me to be his pastor.
People really didn't know him, and that's one reason they came to Plains, mm-hmm. to see the man that everybody was talking about, and all the news people were writing about him.
Here's George Williams again. We heard from him in the first episode.
Born again Christian, and You know, a lot of people don't even realize what a born-again Christian is. And that's why they flocked to Maranatha years ago. Sometimes we had, well, the most we ever had on one Sunday was 878 people. And every Sunday that he taught, the whole parking lot was slept full. And that just tells you about that man, how much people wanted to meet him, just to get to see him and even touch him. I mean, that's how much he meant to a lot of people.
Just so we're all on the same page, Wikipedia explains being born again like this. To be born again or to experience the new birth is a phrase, particularly in evangelical Christianity, that refers to a spiritual rebirth or a regeneration of the human spirit. In contrast to one's physical birth, being born again is distinctly and separately caused by the operation of the Holy Spirit, and it occurs when one surrenders their life to Jesus Christ. An example of former President Jimmy Carter's commitment to living a Christ-like life is the origin of Maranatha Baptist Church. For this, we'll go back to Kim Carter Fuller, President Carter's niece.
Maranatha split from Plains Baptist Church, and the primary reason is because some African Americans wanted to come to church at Plains Baptist Church. To begin with, the deacons of Plains Baptist voted to allow it. And then I'm not sure where the turning point came, but in other words, the vote went away and a new vote came up. And they were, you know, it was said that no African Americans would be allowed to come to church there. Now I want to stop for just a minute to say that in Plains there are still white churches and African American churches. Okay, I want to stop to say that. And that's just the way, and when I say this, I'm not being flippant, that's just the way it is right now. But Maranatha Baptist Church was founded on the principle that everyone is welcome. Maranatha means come Jesus, come Lord. And that's what we say, that everybody is welcome at Maranatha Baptist Church. And so we've had so many people over the years. I was actually at the meeting where the vote said no. And I can remember as a teenager seeing people, men and women, that, now that was a time of dissension, that I was, who were role models for me, stand up and express themselves in such a way that I found to be appalling. I remember I was sitting on the back row, very back row, and I was devastated, because like we've talked a little bit, you know, we've all lived together, and then all of a sudden they were saying, you know, their thoughts about race that I never realized that they, how they believed. But then Maranatha was born. Now I'm gonna stop, be honest with you. When Maranatha first came to be, I had been off to college. I was still a member at Plains Baptist Church. My membership didn't move automatically. My grandmama Carter was still a member at Plains Baptist Church. Her membership, I'm not real sure why grandmama didn't automatically move her membership. More than likely, I'll just say this, probably because of change. You know, she was at a time in her life when change was not something she felt to be important. I know it was not because she believed that race was, you know, wasn't an important issue. I don't. But then I joined Maranatha. And I can truly say that I have never witnessed any type of don't come in here, for lack of a better way to say it. I left the church when my children were small because there was no youth program there. And so I became Methodist for a short period of time. And I will be honest, I became a Methodist in August, and Uncle Jimmy didn't speak to me until December. He did, because I became a Methodist. And then up at the church, up at the school, we were having an event, and he came up and he says, "Are you happy?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." "Did you leave because of me?" I said, "No, sir, I didn't." "Okay, then we're fine." But there were two or three women who didn't speak to me for a long time, until we finally made a peace. But then I went back, and have been there ever since. So we are a very welcoming church. Now, I do feel underneath there are probably some hard feelings between members of the two churches, but that's way underneath. I've never had anybody say anything to me. I know there's some of our older members who still harbor resentment's the best word. Because of people who didn't come over, does that make sense? That didn't leave, and they felt that they should have. Those first founders, there are about 14 of them left. And oh, honey, they will tell you in a skinny minute what it was like. And they will come right out and say, you know, we believe in a faith that encompasses everybody. And I believe that way too. But when you hear them say it, it just means even more. You know, because they actually did it. And like I said, I was in college. And at that time, you know, I was going, oh, I'm in college. You know, why should I go back home and move my membership to another church? So it took me a little bit longer. But I am so glad I did. And, yeah, and you, I know you've been there on a Jimmy Sunday. Mm-hmm. You've been there on a, which is what we used to call them, on a Jimmy Sunday, where you had to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning to get in the door. And there have been many, many Sundays. I remember one Sunday, I've been a Jimmy's substitute for several years now, but what that meant at the time was on the Sundays when he could not be there, I taught. And I taught back in the back, in the fellowship hall. I didn't teach in the big church, the sanctuary. But I remember one Sunday when his grandson passed away. And Uncle Jimmy called me about 12 o'clock that night. On Saturday night, he said, Kim Jeremy he's sick. And he told me what had happened. He said, we're on our way to Atlanta. He said, will you start Sunday school for me? And I said, of course I will. I said, if you want me to teach the whole time. He said, no, we've got all these people coming. I'll be there. And so about 6 o'clock that morning, he called me. He said, Jeremy passed away. I said, well, what do you want me to do? And he said, well, did you study? I said, yes, sir, I studied. And he said, well, if you'll just start it, I'll be there. Well, when I came in, you could just see the looks on those people's faces. It was just like, oh my God, who is this person? First thing I said was, I am not who you were expected to see, of course. I said, but he's told me he'll be here. And of course, it was not my place to tell why he wasn't there either. So he didn't come in. And I had seen Secret Service come in the other door. I'm going, he's here somewhere. Finally, he walked out and did just like he does. Hey, y'all, you know. And he came up to me and he said, you did fine. I said, well, thank you. He said, I've been back there watching you on the monitor. I wanted to see how you were going to do. Whatever. Thank you. Because I was petrified.
I'll never forget one day we were delivering food to people who could not come and get food. And this particular day, Rosalind Carter decided that she wants to go along with us. And we have Secret Service in tow. She gets out of this big black SUV. My car is following them. We knock on the door. She has a walker in her hand. And she's going to a house that she has always been to deliver food for years, if not decades. We knock on the door, no one answers. And so we said, okay, we'll just take this particular box of food to another person on the list. And she says, okay, I'm going to walk. Miss Carter, I'm sorry, but you can't walk. She said, oh, yes, I can. And she proceeded to walk, and I told her, Miss Carter, it's almost about a quarter mile. She says, oh, okay. All right, I'll ride. But I'm going to take this food to them. I mean, just this servanthood of wanting to get out and serve. When he fell, when he went to Nashville, right before he went to Nashville, he had fallen right before church. And they said, well, like everything's gonna be canceled, he's not gonna go to Nashville. They're probably gonna keep him at the hospital. Next thing I know, he's on the way to the airport with 13 stitches. To do what? Build houses for people that were waiting for him, so that he can put Christ on display and he can serve with his hands. And so that contagious servant leader attitude is all around this church. and around this neighborhood. It's amazing to see, and I think a lot of it is because President Carter's teaching in Sunday school. The hand that God has on this church as they split from Plains Baptist Church 40-something years ago, as well as that they have decided to serve God and die for God.
Jimmy Carter's faith translated into tangible actions that impacted his relationships, leadership, and community. They reveal a man who sought to live out his Christian principles, not just profess them, and whose actions often spoke louder than words. He advocated for equal rights, even when it was unpopular. He has a passion and dedication to serving others, both locally and globally. And those who know President Carter best consistently describe him as a man of integrity and humility, qualities that are rooted deeply in his faith. Thanks for listening to Plainspoken, Jimmy Carter and the People of Plains. Now, there were 3 episodes. If you missed the other 2, be sure and go back and listen to them. I think you'll like the stories of Jimmy Carter that we have uncovered through the conversations with the people of Plains. The documentary Plainspoken is available on demand at gpb.org.
In the light of his smile, found the courage to withstand. He brought us peace, made the world understand. Every prayer, his heart was true, an honest friend just like me and you. Christian faith as his guiding star, he brought us together from near and far. Raise a hand, celebrate a good man. Raise a hand, took a stand, led with love across this land. The strength of a friend, a gentle guide, in unity and peace he found his stride.